take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
This is AR Bass. Keep it locked right here on TPV Radio.
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio is just getting hotter, and we have an all-star lineup just for you. Mondays, conversations with Joe and Jay at 7:30 a.m. Tuesdays, victory over the weights of life with author Deanne Lebrin at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, Illuminating Word Ministries with Dr. Apostle Forrest L. Walker Sr. at 5 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4:30 p.m. Also, Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Fridays, the exclusive interview with yours truly, the Psalmist Voice, by appointment only. Saturdays is Saturdays Refet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones at 11 a.m., followed by The Locker Room with Coach D at 4 p.m. Sundays, TPV Reloaded at 2 p.m. with The Familia. Catch all of TPV Radio programming on Facebook Live at TPV Radio. Also, Live 365, tune in, and all of our podcasts, social media platforms. Walk with us in relationship, purpose, and promise. And let's go!
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. It's the two-time Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated. You're listening to The Voice. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now. TPV Radio.
Flowing, let it flow, flowing strong, flowing strong.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is time to get this party started. We're still dealing with love on this afternoon. We're coming to you with a message of love, desiring to impact your everyday living with an extraordinary way of lifestyle. Good afternoon to each and every caller, each and every listener, and also to our distinguished panel. Good afternoon, Sister Tracy. How are you today?
I am well. Happy Saturday to you.
Thank you, darling. Happy Saturday to you as well. Good afternoon, Sister Roberta. Happy Saturday to you.
Good afternoon and happy Saturday to you and everyone listening.
Hey, man, what a delightful way to start today, acknowledging no matter what's going on in our everyday life today, it's a happy Saturday. Because I don't know about everybody else, but I've had a strenuous time trying to get to this line on today. I have some grandchildren here with me, and I hadn't eaten, and just all kind of things were kind of pulling at me. Today I was into a book that I was reading, and the book was calling my name. And so I got a little sidetracked. But we're dealing with love on today, and as you deal with a thing, many of you know that when you have a subject matter, it seems like that subject matter is something that you encounter in your immediate life because you're dealing with it or you asked to deal with it or given an opportunity to deal with it, whichever way is best to say that. And so this love walk journey, I was sharing with some people, and I'll continue to share it because it's just true. I found out that my love was on life support, and it needed mouth-to-mouth. So I'm here today giving you what I have and whatever you have to share on today. I'm open because I realize that out of all of the things that I've encountered in my life, love is of the utmost importance. Just looking at 1 Corinthians 13, which they call it the love chapter, the author, the publisher of this particular Bible says the way of love. And when I looked at it, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which some translations said have not love, I am becoming as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And that's where I found myself when I approached the scripture to find out what kind of love it was that God wanted me to have. I found out I had been a tingling cymbal and a sound. Where am I at now? I had been a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal myself because my love walk was not up to par. And but I'm not gonna continue with this. I'm gonna hand this over to Sister Roberta, and we'll follow along with her on today. But I'm just locating myself and sharing with you all that you're not alone when you find out that your love walk is not up to par. There are many of us that are on this path with you, and if it's not the fact that we're not where we should be, it's where you willing to stay. Are you willing to stay there? Or do you want better? I want better. So, Sister Roberta, I'll hand it over to you.
Yes, well, that's good, Sister Brown, because when we look in the scripture, it's a mirror. It reflects, it shows all our blemishes and our scars and dents and moles and all that. And that's what the Word of God is. It's a mirror to reflect what's wrong with us. When we compare our love walk, we compare it to God's love, Jesus' love that he had for us. We all see that it's on life support, all of our, when we compare it with that. But the thing that blesses me is that we always are without hope with him. We are not without hope with him, because our hope is in him. And because he lives inside of us, we too shall live. And because the love of God is shed abroad in us, because he is love.
Mm-hmm.
And he mm-hmm. brings to attention our shortcomings of love, and how we can get to bring us to the place where we fall short. He picks
mm-hmm.
it up.
Yeah.
And things that when we learn that what love truly is, we all find out that we wasn't doing love. Most of the time we were doing feelings and emotions, because
that's true.
Because we were going on what we feel or what we were feeling about someone
mm-hmm.
and how someone made us feel. And
that's
not love. Love is actually unconditional. It's not what you do for me or I do for you. It's the love of God. It's the character of God that loves in spite of, not because of, but in spite of what
mm-hmm.
you do to me, I'm going to love you, you know. And that's the thing I believe that God is awakening us to. In this pandemic,
mm-hmm.
he awakened us to what love really was. We thought, you know, we thought we had it all together. But God
True.
Said, look, let me show you some things. I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to put make you, get you in a spot where you got to sit still. And you got to
mm-hmm.
see. You know, you got to see whether it's with the children, whether, you know, with the husband, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, you know, even on the job. But you're gonna have to demonstrate the love walk, or else you're not going to make it.
My God. Mm. Pastor Chris in the background moaning. Did you hear that, Roberta? Did you hear Pastor Chris? He wants to get started early, but please don't turn him loose.
Nope.
Sister Roberta, we talked earlier today, Pastor Chris, Sister Roberta and I, we talked earlier today, and I was sharing with her how God appears sometimes to have a sense of humor, because he said,
yes.
He said, love don't keep no record of. And I'm standing there like, what do you mean don't keep no record? In 1932 at 4 o'clock at the corner, Genesee and Weber, he did X, Y, Z. But he's saying that when you really love a person, you let things go. You know, you give them what you want from God. And Roberta, I was having a problem with that love don't keep no record. And then when I decided, I was going to kind of, okay, God, don't keep no record. Okay, I'm going to have to work on keeping a record. And then I went on to read. He told me something. It don't speak ill of. I said, now, wait a minute. It don't call him no bad name. It don't call him. Now, how am I do all that? And that, to me, is amazing how God didn't leave any stones unturned, Sister Tree. He didn't leave no stones unturned. And, I mean, everything we need to know, he has really told us. And it just baffles me sometimes how well he equips us if we will allow him to. Sister Tree, did you know you can't speak ill of and keep records, baby?
God is still working on me.
There you go, that work in progress.
He is working.
Okay, Sister Roberta. It looks like Sister Roberta. Pastor Chris is moaning. She said she's a work in progress, and I'm on life support. So you all we got today, baby.
No, I'm the wrong one.
See, I'm trying to be good this week, ladies. I'm trying to be good. So that's why
mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say much. I'm just going to stick to my ooms and be in the amen corner as long as I possibly can. And I'm going to keep the pen at bay. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Okay. Hey, Sister Chief, I know you smart. Do you really believe that's going to work out, Sister Chief?
Absolutely not. I'm going to give
about 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes.
Okay,
20 minutes.
It's going to
pop off. I already know.
My money's about 15. My money's about 15. Go ahead, Sister Roberta. stir the pot because he's coming out that corner. Come on.
He has to come out that corner because I know during this time he had to show some great restraint in love in his area of expertise. I know he had to
That's
say,
true.
"Wait a minute, wait a minute, God, wait 1 minute, God." Like, can I just say something, God? No, be quiet. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
I got this because you know. When we serve that love thing, you know, and that's the thing that's so powerful about God, because he showed us love. It's that when we were yet in our sin, he died for us. He sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
So love is always sacrificing. And so often that flesh don't want to sacrifice us. The flesh want to be served, not sacrificed.
Mm.
It want to be served.
Mm.
So Pastor Chris, would you, as being a pastor, would you comment on that? Love that love sacrifice versus being served.
Mm. Well, my answer probably is not going to be popular, so you know we might get some more hate mail after I say this, but it's okay. See, you have to learn how to be a servant first. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're an apostle. I don't care. Whatever your title is, you have to be servant-minded. See, because if you're servant-minded, it's easier for you to love someone past their craziness. Uh-oh. It's easier to love someone past their panic attack with this COVID-19. See, it's even easy for you to love the same people that come to your congregation week in, week out, smile in your face. As soon as they walk out the door, they say, "You see what Pastor had on? Oh, I like the way Pastor was preaching that message today. He was talking to me." You know how we do. See, you have to be able to grow. I call it, you have to grow a spiritual thick skin. You can't be soft, especially in this time, because people going to come at you regardless if you saying all the right things, doing all the right things, you're doing everything you're supposed to do. People still got something to say. Because why?
Mm-hmm.
People are fickle. And I'm sorry to say it. And it's worse in our community as believers. We're more hated towards each other than we are in the world. Now the world, they're going to tell it like it is. They're going to say, "Look, I don't like you." See,
right.
But the church, and okay, let me stop saying the church. Let me say some. See, some churches, they'll smile in your face and then they talk about you behind your back. And then when you try to check them, "Oh, it's wrong. Oh, I didn't mean to," or "I didn't mean to say that." See, it's hard being a pastor, still loving folks, even though they talking about you behind your back. You have to grow a spiritual thick skin, especially in this time. I get it. People are losing loved ones. I get it. People are even losing their marriages in this time. I get it.
See,
we have to understand that if we don't build our immune system in our relationship with Christ, we're going to have a problem. But see, I said I was going to preach, so I'm going to go back and be quiet before the band start playing. Yeah, I know it's a shock. See, I'm learning how to constrain myself because this subject I can go ham and cheese on, and I can take an hour to talk about the love during the pandemic. Do we love each other during this pandemic? Some of us do.
Some of us.
A lot of us, if you want to keep it real, ladies, a lot of us still have some issues loving each other. Yeah. So,
Pastor Chris,
I'm going to be
the true colors.
Yeah, true colors come out. When the wig come off, when the pumps come off, when the suit come off, we go ham and cheese. And I don't understand it. See, okay, I'm going to say this. See, when it comes to a marriage, and all of us are happily married, right? See,
right.
We have to grow into each other. And you have those seasons where you look at each other cross-eyed and your nose is turned up because something don't smell right. Well, the
right.
reason why it doesn't, because there's a period where you grow. Some of us grow apart. And if you're not willing mm-hmm. to grow with the person, you're going to have some issues. So there you, again, you're going to have people talking about you behind your back, including your significant other. It happens. I'm not knocking it. It happens. So what do you do about it? You either try to understand where he or she is coming from, where you can come at least halfway, or it's not going to work at all. So regardless if the person is making a change, he or she, as a couple, in order for you to become one flesh, it's hard to do that sometimes. I'm going to keep it real, especially in our community. It's very hard to do that. So that's a perfect example. Marriage is a perfect example of how our relationship should get better with Christ. Because what we're mm-hmm. not doing in our physical relationship, we should be doing in our spiritual. And then when you're doing it in your spiritual, it reciprocates to your natural. So then you being on not on the same page ends up coming closer together. Why? Because you're looking at you. That's the key, ladies. You got to look at you. If you know you got issues, you got to fix you. In order for you to get to the next level in Christ, you got to fix you. Regardless of if your husband ain't following suit, regardless if your wife ain't following suit, you have to do a own self-assessment. And when you do that, change starts to happen. But anyway, let me be quiet. I'm turning off my mic. Back to you.
That's good, Pastor Chris. Because, you know, in my devotion this morning, it was talking about how the Lord said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," and how He's with you no matter where you are, what you're going through, how you look, what you have on. He said, "I will not forsake you. I'm not going to mm-hmm. leave you." And once you come to the to that place in your life that, okay, Lord, you say you're not going to leave, but sometimes mm-hmm. it feels like He left. But we have to hold mm-hmm. to His promise that I'm not going to leave you. And the most important one that has ever been in your life is there at all times. And that's, and once we come to that place in life that we realize that I'm not alone in this, that whatever I'm going through, mm-hmm. I'm going through with the Lord, with Him. And we understand that He is my helper. So whatever happens, He can help me in this. Like Pastor Chris mm-hmm. said, if you have an issue, you have to deal with you, you know, regardless. You have to move on. I mean, you can't, if you have a stubborn heart, a stubborn mm-hmm. a spouse mm-hmm. you know, it's like bringing a horse to the water, but not, you can't make him drink.
That's true.
So you have to
That's
move
true.
On in your spiritual life and just begin to praise God and ask God, okay, Lord, where we go from here? What do I do,
mm-hmm.
you know, from here? And that's the only thing that's going to stir up that love walk is trusting God. But, you know, that relationship that you have with Him and knowing that, okay, God, it's not about me, it's not about him, it's not about her, but it's about you and I now. And we have to come, you have to, you know, like the kids say, stay focused. We have to stay focused on that it's about you and God, because other than that, you want to throw in the towel. You want to throw it, and not just a towel, but throw your hands up, you know, and maybe even, you know, kind of grip somebody off not punch them in the face, but, you know, but kind of just brush them a little bit.
Get up.
You know, that's really good, you and Pastor Chris said, Mom, because when you look in a mirror, you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with us being made in the image of God, what we should be seeing is images of him. But
that's
because
good.
We're so caught up in, you know, you did this to me and you should treat me this way and I feel this way, we see ourselves, but what we see in the background is what everyone else did to us. I remember, when I went through, I went to my pastor and I wanted some counseling because my husband was jacked up. You hear what I said? I went to him because my husband was jacked up. And in that counseling session, everything pointed back to me. And I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is not what I came here for. I came here for him to get straight so that he can treat me right. And every single time the pastor told me to focus on the cross, if I align with the cross and I focus on the cross, what he's doing around me, I don't even see it. You know why? Because I'm focused on the love. That's what the cross is about, love. The greatest, greatest example of love we can ever imagine. So if we stay focused right there and deal with us, we won't have to worry about what goes on around us. And y'all, this is really, this is really helping me because I'm realizing that it's truly an individual walk. We're calling it a love walk, but it's individual because as we read the word of God, more of us should be chipped off every single time. If we continue to walk away the same way, every time we read, every time we pray, every time we worship, God's word is true. We're supposed to change. Something on the inside of us should change. So that lets you know that our love needs to go to the shop and get some fine-tuning because we're off kilter. We're off kilter. And that's all of us. That's just keeping it real. I have not arrived. I have not arrived. I told my mom this years ago. I purpose in my life every day to treat people right. I really do. I don't want to hurt you. You know, if I did something to offend you, tell me because I don't want to be that person. You know, I don't want my reputation to get there before I get there. Oh, that treats it. She, the way she look at you, the way she treat people. I don't want that. So I want to help, you know, and this is really good for me, you know, in this season because there are a lot of hurting souls out there. You know, the saints, the ain't, everybody's hurting. Everybody's mad and everybody has an edge. Everybody has an edge. You know, you
That's
can't. I have never seen so many people with anxiety. I mean, it's insane. You know what is going on? We know it's a trick of the enemy. We know that. But guess what? If we focus on love, if we focus on Christ, if we focus on the cross, all the things in the environment from COVID to diseases to children acting up, to husbands running amok, none of that would affect us the same because our focus would be different.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's grand. That's grand. That's outstanding. Sister Teresa, Sister Roberta, Pastor Chris, I looked at, sometimes we get attached to our spiritual journeys, our spiritual walk. We come on board. And we think that this thing is going to be made quick work of. And it's actually a journey. And we don't look at it from the onset as a journey. We look at it like a trip or an event. We don't know it's really an experience. And I looked at it on today. It's like when we come aboard and we get started on this trip, journey, there are some spots in the journey that are much more difficult than others. And there's an area of this journey where there's a threshing floor, there's some separating and dividing, but then there's this desert time. this is desert time. And in this desert, it's hot, it's sandy, it's lonely, it's as far as the naked eye can see, it's barren. And you think to yourself, and it's void. It's void of anything green. No grass grows there. Not very much water. There are places in this desert that looks like there's water, and you run to it, and you get there, and you find out it's just more and more sand. And that's the area that we have to learn what? To trust God. And what drives trust is love. So at the end of the day, if I'm going to get where I'm going, I got to grab hold to love no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how much I struggle with it, I still got to be found trying to get me some love so I can go on this journey and get to where I'm going. On yesterday, I got a thought on yesterday. Had some material, and this thought was, you've come this far not to come this far, not to go, not to, how to go? You come this far not to come this far. Or in other words, as far as you've come is not all the way you want to go. In other words, you can't get to a place where you get comfortable where you are. You still got more to do. As long as you got life, you got living. You got living to do as long as you got life. But sometimes we like to get settled down. You know, this is a good little spot right here. We think we're supposed to go on a picnic all the time. We got a basket and a blanket. So we find a place that's kind of shady, little breeze coming through every now and then, and we want to camp there. And God is saying, this is part of the journey, but this is not where you're going. This is just a part of the journey. And so love is something we're going to have to grab hold to. Sister Roberta, this is a difficult thing. I like the way Sister Tree put what she said. This is a very difficult walk, and we need help to get there because nobody can get where they're going without having it. Nobody's exempt from love. So we need help today. And Brother John did text me. He said he had a meeting. He said love is everything. And I told him I would relay his message. Love is everything. We can't do nothing apart from love. That was Brother John Jackson's message that he gave me, and I agree with him. Sister Roberta?
Yes, that's so true. You can't do anything outside of love without love. And, you know, and love is a commitment. You have to commit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to commit to love. Commit. Mm-hmm. Commit. But, you know, like Teresa said, you know, you have to purpose in your heart. And you purpose mm-hmm. in your heart to do what's right, to do what's right. And all love is doing the right thing. It's doing the right thing by God, not by you, not your standards, but God's standards.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he did. When he came, he showed love. He so loved us that he gave his son. Not because we were so good, not because we did all the right things, not because mm-hmm. we deserved it, but because of his love for us, he came and died and sacrifice for us so that we can become what he wanted us to be. See, that's the thing, the sacrifice. He said, I'm going to do this so you can become. You're not there, but you can become.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep loving a person and keep teaching, and that's how you teach in your love walk. Your love walk teaches, mm-hmm. you know, okay, how it will walk you down. It will slow walk mm-hmm. you down. And one of the things, you know, my mind goes back to Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, one of the things, he had a peace, but it was a peace and a love walk that caused some things to happen to change the world. He actually changed the world and the way they looked at us as a people, because he didn't do it by violence. He didn't do it by, he did it by love.
Mm-hmm.
It constrained him to do the right thing, even though he was being mistreated, even though he was being beaten. He didn't strike back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's some type of example that you beating me, and I'm on my knees.
My Lord, that speaks volumes. You saying it?
It speaks volumes when you think about it.
It
I'm on my knees. You beating me. So so what came? I mean, look at what came out of it. You know, he could have got guns. What would you would have just had a massacre of people killed, hurt, and no change. But when you begin to love, it transforms. It renews your mind. It makes a difference in the walk. And like Pastor Chris said, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to have a relationship with him. And, you know, he said he's given up everything that pertains to life and godliness. So when things go wrong, who do we turn to? Because most of the times we're upset because of what we don't have or what somebody's not doing for us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and he tell us to be content. You be content where you are. You know, I'm here. I got your need. I have everything you need. I have it right here with me. But you know, you can do all the buts you want.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to change anything. But if I do come with a renewed mind and say, you know what, regardless of what happens, I'm going to love you and treat you the way you're supposed to be treated. Because you already know, like Pastor Chris said, some church folks, they're not going to like you if you do and if you don't. They're going to talk about you if you do the right thing, if you do the wrong thing. They're going to talk about you. Why? Because they don't have the love of God. They don't know anything about keeping your conversation holy, keeping your conversation without coveting and be content with such things you have. Be content. But, Lord, I want to change things. I want to move from where I'm at. He said, no, be content because I'm with you in it. I ain't going to leave you. I'm here with you. I ain't going to forsake you. I'm your present help.
That plan of his, though, Sister Roberta, that plan, God has a plan. And sometimes his plan just seems to interfere with ours, doesn't it? I'm going over here to the left, and all of a sudden he shows up on that path, and he say, Sister Roberta, I want you to go over here. But, Lord, I see with that plan. And when we allow his plan to work, God, he know what he doing.
Yes. Well, you know, you brought me back to the scripture where he said, when he was trying, he said, look, I have to go to Samaritan. He said, I have to go here. There's somebody that need me here right now. He just didn't go. But he had a person in need. See, whatever God does, he has purpose. He's a purpose God. And he has purpose. His purpose. Why am I going here? To fulfill God's purpose, to give him glory. There was a woman there that needed to be saved, that needed to get her ministry started. Because once she got there and found out who she was, she could go tell people who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
But she had to find out who she was first.
Right.
Because she just thought she was a woman with all the men. But God told her, that's what he does. He takes us.
That's what he does.
Out of us, what he placed in us, so that he can get the glory out of our life.
Amen.
It's for him. It's not for us. So we're so stuck and hung up on us, we don't want to die.
That's true.
We don't want to reckon ourselves dead because we think we all that in the bag of chips. We so used to, like Pastor Chris said, our weeds. We so used to our name brand. So we want to be seen.
Yes. Oh, you done struck a nerve.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm telling you, you
boy.
Was doing good. And now all of a sudden she strikes a nerve. She struck your nerve. What she do?
That's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That is the
truth. It's stuff
again,
you know, though, ain't it?
Yes, we get caught up in us.
Oh, my God.
And we get caught up in the feeling. The feeling. Love is not about a feeling. It's not about a feeling. It's about a lifestyle. It's about a lifestyle. It's the reason we were created to love, because we're showing the love of God. Now, that's just something that just hit me like a whole boulder just hit me in my forehead just now when I said that was nothing but the Holy Ghost. But that's it. It's love is a lifestyle. And I thought about something. I was like, if I had to depict what the color of love was, what would it be? And it would be clear. The color is clear. We put other colors on it. We put yellow. It's sunshine. Oh, blue is like the refreshing waters. And purple is majestic and powerful. Nope. Love is clear. Because it's a reflection of God through us. That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Dr. Chris, sit down somewhere. Ain't nobody got time for this. Make these smart people go somewhere and sit down and be quiet. Jesus. Oh, my God. How are we going to have a radio show? We getting convicted on the show. Oh, my God. Help us.
No confusion.
Somebody take the wheel, Jesus.
I'm just trying to, the band trying to hold me back. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. I feel chill bumps in places I didn't even know I had a bump. Lord.
Jesus,
oh, my God.
Jesus.
Woo. I can only walk this floor so long, Jesus. But, hey, y'all. Hey, hey, hey. Listen. Listen, Linda. when you thought you knew God's plan. Because, you know, he told us in part. Lord Jesus, get these bumps out of my head. He tells us in part. And truly, you went to North Carolina. You really didn't know all of what North Carolina had. And as it got really cutting back a little bit at a time, and you were standing there like, golly, I didn't know this, Lord. I didn't know this was going to happen in my life. I didn't know that the person that hated me for no apparent reason was going to be a reason for me to even be in North Carolina. That's the why the enemy put hatred in our heart towards me. Because he didn't want me to be able to minister to her. And God is saying, look, overlook that. Father, forgive her, but she know not what she do. This thing with God is getting bigger and bigger every week. I don't know where we going, y'all. Sister Roberta, would you please put some water on this fire because my shoes are smoking.
I think it should burn because it's burning up. It's burning up. Some stuff in us is burning some stuff in us because, you know, we're reminded that it says Jesus never changed. The same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And like you said, the enemy come and bring all these thoughts and ideas in our head to change us from where we, from leaving our first love, our first love. Because you remember when you first got saved, didn't nothing bother you? Everything was okay. You know, it was such a love walk. It was so sweet. And we let everything
pure.
Get in the way. Stop. It was pure, right? It was.
That's
it
a
was
good word.
It was. And now, you know, we let all these things come in because, instead of going back to the source. We have to go to the source.
Go back to the source.
Jesus.
God.
You put my phone on mute. I'm in the holler.
I ain't studying. My phone.
Go back
yes,
to the
God.
Phone.
My, you dropping bombs.
Thank you, Father.
See, I like the way, I got to say this. I like the way Sister Tracy said that love was clear. Remember when we were little, we didn't know anything about the love of God. We just inherited it. As we grew and matured, we started developing our own will. When that started happening, then we mentally processed that love is supposed to be like this, or love's supposed to be like that. This is before Christ now, because, you know, we go to church with mama, we ain't really paying attention. Let's just keep it real. We're not paying attention.
So as
we grow, we're getting all these examples from what we watch, who we talk to, all that stuff. So usually within your late teens, mid-20s, going into 30s, you go through this period where you're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Because we were taught that way. See, people don't think TV or influences in your life as you grow have an effect on you without Christ. See, when we started coming into our own, understanding that Christ had no switch, what do I mean? His love was as clear as what Sister Tracy said. He went on the cross with a clear heart, knowing that I gotta die for these fools. I'm sorry, but I'm quite sure his human side was going straight ham. He was like, look, I gotta die for these fools? Are you kidding me? See, you can't understand the love that Christ had for us until you look in the mirror and truly understand what he gave up.
Yes.
This ain't about religion.
That's good. That's
this
good.
Ain't about cliches. You got to understand, what did he give up?
Yes.
He gave himself up for your knucklehead, my knucklehead, all the nonsense I put him through with my own screw-ups, and yet I can't sit here and love my own spouse or my church folks. See, that's a problem. Why? Because we forgot how to love since we were kids. We start getting polluted by the nonsense of the world. And then when we were able to get our shot with Jesus Christ, we all out of whack because we don't understand. Well, that's not what TV said. That's not what Denzel said. That's not what Jada said. What did God say? God wants us to love unconditionally. Does it hurt? Absolutely. Do you wake up in the morning to your spouse or to people you go to work with and say, oh, I love you. God bless you. Stop being fake. See, that's the problem. Once you realize you have a problem and you ask God for the antidote to fix it, it's going to be easy for you to love in a clear state, because then you don't have to worry about somebody saying whatever, because it bounces right off you. Why? Because you got the inner bodies of Christ to bounce that negativity off of you, and you use that as fuel. See, people don't understand. We have to get into our own relationship with Christ. This is the key to it all, family. It has nothing to do with how many degrees you have on your wall. It doesn't matter how much you know. If you don't know Jesus Christ for yourself, I mean, truly, we going to still be talking about each other. Oh, Sister Lorraine, she thinks she all that. Oh, Sister Roberta, she thinks she got all the answers. Oh, Sister Tracy, she just thinks she's so blessed and out of it. You know how we do. See, we got to do our own check. We got to go on our own garden and pick out those weeds and understand that, yeah, I might have a problem here. I need to start looking at me. And see, we get mad, ladies, when people are really in tuned with God and they see you for who you really are. We get an attitude. We get mad. We ready to leave the church because Sister May told me I got a nasty spirit, even though I be praise breaking every Sunday, even though I give $1,000 seed tie, even though I come in this church looking all fleet. I'm nasty at the core. Why? Because you never dealt with your stuff. We got to deal with our stuff. How can I love anybody towards any pandemic, any disaster, when I got a nasty spirit in me myself? It can't happen. So how do you do this? Okay, you talking all this smack, Pastor. So how do you do it? Easy. We said it at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to say it again. Look in the mirror. See what's wrong with you. Ask God to help you with your stuff. Now, sometimes God will cause separation. He will. Sometimes he has to separate us from the people that's continuously putting toxic waste in our spirit. Uh-oh, get in trouble with that one. Sometimes you got to take a break from the church and get a detox program with Jesus Christ himself and get all that stuff detoxed out of your spirit, so when you come back to the house, you can come back with power and authority because you got your heart right. See, we sometimes we got to go back and look at our heart and see we got issues. Sometimes it's okay to be transparent. It's okay to say, you know what, Sister Lorraine, sometimes I just don't be feeling it. You know, mm-hmm. Sister Tracy, I don't want to hear all that gospel talk, girl. I just want you to listen to where I'm coming from. See, this is the stuff we don't listen to. We want to preach each other till the cows come home, but we don't want to get to the root of the problem. Sometimes we don't love because we got trust issues. Uh-oh. And I'm not just talking about in relationship. We got trust issues with God himself. Uh-oh. Why? Because I gave my $1,000 seed for 2 years, and I'm still living in this ghetto, driving my hoopty, and the pastor promised me I was going to get double for my trouble. See, that's where you're wrong. Because if you had a relationship with God in the first place, you know God ain't no ATM machine. And he ain't a loan payment. And he ain't a bank that's going to finance you to get you what you want. God's obligation to us is to supply our needs. And if we need love more than that Bugatti or that red bottom shoe, and we need a heart check, guess what? Jesus is going to give us that before he gives us anything. Why? Because if our heart ain't right when we get the stuff, we still going to be just as nasty as we walked in. You know what? Let me be quiet because I'm about to just go off. So I'm going to be quiet, turn my mic off. Okay, I'm going to do it this time. Back to you, ladies. Let me stop. I'm done.
Yes, God.
That was good. Good sermon. Good sermon, Pastor. Good sermon. And it's so true. It's so true. It's so needed at this time because we have to look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. We have to come to grips with who the Word of God say we are and let the Word of God become alive in our life. In our life. You know, if you, like you said, if you have a problem, then we need to find out get to the root of the problem. Let's find out where's it coming from. Is that problem coming from on the inside or the outside? There's a difference. And most of the time, I think my sister told me, she said, other people's problems shouldn't affect you like that, not from the inside. Because, you know, you should be concerned about them, but when it starts affecting your inside, then there's something wrong. You need a heart examination because it has gotten in your heart.
It ain't the love, folks. This is Lorraine. She gone.
Oh, she gone.
She
unmuted
her phone.
I unmuted my phone because I'm trying to be quiet and up. I'm trying to be quiet because I'm telling you, this love thing has really put a strain on me. It has constrained me because you have outside influences that speak to you about, you know, you really shouldn't do that. And then you get into that struggle with doing what God say do and doing what the people that you love and admire say do. And then you got at the end of the day, you got to go God's way if you're going to go anywhere. And so I'm just tired of battling and because my arms are truly too short to box with God. God already told us we got to walk in love. So he didn't say you should. He said it's a must. If you're going to have anything, if you're going to go anywhere, if you're going to be anybody in God, it's got to be laced and labeled by love. End of the day, end of the story. And he didn't say that it's going to be a walk in the park. He didn't say that you just going to make up your mind and abracadabra, then we're going to be standing. No, it's a struggle. And I'm in pursuit. And I have to be quiet and take a step back because I know, I tell y'all, my love don't like support. I need help. I'm like my grandson. Leave me alone, Roberta.
See, but that's where the change happens. When you make a decision that you sick and tired of feeling the way you feel and you want to make the change. This is where the devil gets in your head the most. Because when we get to the point of our life, when we're sick and tired of being this way, I want to be able to love you, even though I hate your guts right now. I still want to be able to love past you and see how God would love you through this situation. So how can I love you in transparency when my heart ain't even right? See, we got to get our heart right. I don't care what nobody say. We can have the most fanciest, most theological individual on the platform right now, but if your heart ain't right, I don't care what you say, because as soon as the lights are off, as soon as the on-air light goes off, you the worst person in the world to deal with. Why? Because you got heart issues. We suffer a massive heart attack in the body because we too busy loving ourselves. We too busy loving our own church. Forget about everybody else. See, because my church and my ministry, look, first of all, it's not his church. It's not your pastor's church. It's not your church. It's God's church.
Yes,
see, this is where this whole thing wrong. We got so caught up in us. And like I said last week, we got this virus called me, and it's spreading like wildfire, and there's no cure for it. Why? Because we want to be the little g instead of letting God be the big G in our life to make the changes. But so we continue to stand in his way, your life ain't never going to change. Why? Because you think you're big G. And you're not qualified to be on his level. So come down a notch. I don't care if you hold a doctorate in divinity or you just a regular pew sitter. You have to get out the way in order for change to take place in your life. And you will never love, you will never change until you get out the way. Man, let me be quiet. See, y'all don't got me going now. Let me be quiet.
Now you want to be quiet. Now you want to hush. Okay. How that working for you? We forgot to put a timer on him, Teresa. I don't know if it took him 15 or 20, but I knew he wasn't going to stay back there.
It was 2 minutes. It was definitely 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes.
Woo! Hey, glory to God.
That is so good. It's so good. You can let the band go.
Jesus, help me today.
I'm with the band. I'm with the band today.
Praise break. Praise the Lord. Remind me of that old song. Have you tried Jesus? He's all right.
He's all right.
He's all right.
Hey! Woo! On the radio show that quit talking and go to praising God. Come on here now. Have you tried Jesus? He's all right.
Stop.
When we come to the end of ourselves, God can stop. When we get tired of not living and surrender to him, our life will never be the same. And you know, that's a message that all of us have because we have all trusted. And we don't know how to relay that any better than what we're relaying it. And we still have people to say, but, and it's the love of God that keeps us going back on that path with the same message, sometimes to the same people that say you crazy. But love sends you back out there because you know how important and vital it is that they find out what you have discovered already.
But you know,
that they be apprehended by what has already apprehended you. Go ahead, Sister Roberta.
But the best thing about that, you know, when they think you crazy, because that's what's supposed to be happening. We're supposed to lose our mind. And take on the mind of Christ. You know, the normal things. Christ didn't do normal things. He didn't come here doing
normal.
He didn't. Well, I got in trouble because I'm going to get some more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're supposed to have, that crazy faith, that crazy love, that crazy relationship, that no matter what, I'm going to trust you. No matter what, no matter what, I'm going to trust you. No matter what, I'm going to love you.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Hey, there we go.
Hallelujah.
See, Sister Roberta, I got a cosign. I got to say this.
Mm-mm.
See, Sister Roberta, you mentioned crazy faith. You mentioned crazy praise. You mentioned crazy love. Remember a time when the church was crazy? Do you remember the time when we just broke loose and didn't care what people said? We threw our weed on a fan. We threw our slippers all over the place. And we just went straight ham, giving God praise and glory. What happened? We got corporate. That's what happened. We got too cute to praise God. That's what happened. We got too educated to give God all the honor because now we think we're God. See, that's why we got to remember where we come from. See, Jesus had crazy faith and crazy love to take what he took the beating, he hung up on that cross, and he rose again. He took a lot for us. That's called crazy faith and crazy love. We want to get psycho in our natural relationships. Well, we get psycho in our spiritual relationship. See, let me be quiet. See, I'm stopping. All right. I'm done now. I'm for real.
We didn't have nothing else, Pastor Chris. Now when we lived in Egypt, we didn't have anything but some onions. So when the opportunity came to trust God to get across our Red Sea, we had nothing. We didn't have anything but to put our full trust in God. And when he showed us who he was, we walked with him for 15 minutes before he had to show us something else because we were back in doubt and unbelief. And we're still that today. When we were going crazy in the church, we had came out of the streets. And we came in out of the streets because we ran out of them streets. Some of us at gunpoint and knife point. And so we came in, we had nothing to lose and everything to gain. But we've gotten to the place now we got good jobs, we live in nice houses, and we feel like, hey, I don't want to lose all of this I got. Like any of it is worth anything if God is not the center of it. Because how can we keep it if God is not going to help us maintain it? Without God, I can do nothing. Without him, I'm lost. Without him, I'm a ship that does not have a sail. Without him, I'm blind and don't have a guide dog. Without him, I'll be back where I was in worse shape than I was in before he come and rescued me. I got to stay where I'm at. I got to serve God. I don't have anything else. I don't care how nice my house is. I don't care how I have $5 collected in my bank account. I won't have sense enough to even know I got it if he removes his presence from me. I once was blind, but now I can see. I once was lost, but he came and located me. And my job is to get up and allow him to clean me up and send me back for those that I left behind. It's some more alley dogs in the alley. I got to go back. And I got to have a dog biscuit, too, because I can't just go back and feed them spiritually and want to give them a dog biscuit because they're hungry.
Come on.
And
they're
thirsty. And I want to go back out there and tell them about Jesus and bring no dog biscuit, no water. I got to take them something back to prove to them. Not just red bottoms, because I could have stole them. I got to take back something of substance to those that I left behind. My children got to start seeing God in me. And when my children are not recognizing God in me, it's not me to get mad. I'm mad showing them. No, I got to go back to his foot and say, okay, Lord, I try to show them me. They don't see you. What am I doing wrong? How am I? How they not experiencing your presence? God, help me to locate the rest of the alley dog before it's time for me to go home. Because we ain't got for a few days and then life is full of trouble. And if I keep on penetrating and concentrating on how much trouble I got, I won't be about my Father's business. Mm. I got work to do, saint. And they got me a little while to do. And I'm trying to smell like a rose, but I'm in a garbage can. So I can't be concerned about being clean. I got to be concerned about the blood of my brothers and sisters on my hands. And their lives being required of them, and they don't know Jesus. And some of them came out of my room. Help me, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that's where their love is. See, the love is showing up and allowing God to show out in us. When we come to where the need is, that's what love is. Love is the sacrifice. Love is laying your life down for someone else. And then you won't have that me disease. Because then your concern is more about someone else. If we be about that fitness, that's what Jesus' whole thing. He came, he said, I came to seek and save the lost. So often we don't want to go there because they beneath me. They don't have, you know, they're you know, like Pastor Chris say, they don't have what I have. I'm too educated for them. Or I'm too clean for them. You know, I live in a fine neighborhood. I don't want them homeless. Nobody know I'm talking to nobody homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say that to someone else. That's not for me. That's not my ministry. That's not my calling. But he called us to save those that are lost. He called us to meet the need.
Yes.
And if the need to go into the world, whatever world it is, you're able to go into it.
Ooh.
And that's where we messed up at, Sister Roberta. See, as church bodies, we accumulate a lot of income. And if we really had love the way we say we do, just in our neighborhoods alone, we could shift the whole thing of homelessness. We can shift the whole thing of poverty-stricken families. See, that's what the church used to do back in the day. See, read your history. The pastor was never out flossing the congregation. The pastor had the same Walmart suit on as the congregants did. And they went into the community, and anything they collected in the plate, whoever needed it the most, they distribute it accordingly. And guess what God did? He honored that. And that's why that church continued to thrive month after month, week after week, year after year. See, we got so corporate. We got all these corporations sponsoring us. Wait a minute. Since when a church needed a sponsor? Come on. See, y'all don't want me to tell the truth, and that's why y'all don't like our network, but it's okay. We have to stop this foolishness. If God can do it for me, he can do it for you. You are no different. We all have the same blessing, the same power, the same authority to make the changes necessary. But you got to want to change. And until we do that as a church, we're going to continue to fail this thing called love during this pandemic. Why? Because we're too busy thinking about us. Y'all don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. Until we get over our church or our organization and start spreading the love, stop hoarding it, and start utilizing the first fruits for your community instead of yourself, a lot of people will turn the other way and come right back to the fold. Why? Because that's the love Jesus did back in the day. That's the love our forefathers did back in the day when they were in slavery. They still gave back to the community. There was no one in that community starving or without, because they stuck together as a body. What happened?
Amen.
We lost the love in the first place, and that's why we have all this chaos. The church is not in control no more. We're controlled by the government instead of being controlled by God. Whatever the government says, we do. We don't love nobody no more because everybody's trying to be the next big thing and get a reality TV show. Uh-oh. But that's not what it's all about.
It's not.
Sometimes.
It's not at all.
You got to get your hair dirty. Like Sister Lorraine, she goes in the garden. She tends to her garden. Now, is Sister Lorraine thinking about her nails when she's tending to the garden? Is she thinking about her $2,000 wig or whatever it is she got on, or her Louis Vuitton sweatsuit when she out there? Is she thinking about that? Think about it, family. She's going in to tend to her garden. We should have the same energy as we tend to our garden in the faith. We can't be coming to God all cute. Sometimes we gotta have our mascara running. I'm sorry. Sometimes we gotta be unshaven, gentlemen. Sometimes you gotta have, if you have a baldy like me, sometimes you just can't shave the baldy, and you just gotta go to before the throne and get a heart check. We gotta understand that we can't be cute no more.
We
gotta get our hands dirty. Now, am I saying you can't look cute, ladies? No, that's not what I'm saying. Am I saying that we go to church looking all kind of way? No, that's not what I'm saying. But it ain't about what you look like. You can have your car detailed all you want, but as soon as you open the door and all the garbage comes falling out, what was the point of getting your car detailed? Just an example.
Right.
I'm sorry, y'all. I need to stop because, you know, we gonna get in trouble. Facebook gonna cut us off because we stepping on too many corns. Let me stop. All right, ladies, I'm stopping for real. That's back.
Pastor Chris, that was the early churches. That was the
early
unit.
Church.
That's what they did. That was the early church.
Yes.
You know, we always talk about the early church. That's what they did. They went and met the needs of the people.
They did.
They went and sold and brought it to the disciples' feet and said, distribute it as needed. What was needed. Mm-hmm. They didn't try and keep it all for themselves. But that's what has happened to the body of Christ. When we go back, when the Lord told me that, when we go back and start doing, giving the people what they need, we're going to pack the house. People gonna start coming from everywhere because we're not meeting the need. We're meeting the need of some, but we're not meeting the need of the people, and that's what has happened. Because our sole purpose is to seek and save the lost. It's for the those that are hurting, those that are in need. You know, we to the place that we turn so far away from those that are need. You know, person comes to the church now with a need, and they'll say, well, you know, let me go look at your refrigerator, or either send you to the rescue mission or send you to somewhere else instead of, oh no, my brother, sister, this person in need, let me go in here and get something. We've strayed so far away from that. We've strayed so far away because, you know what, we think, well, I don't want anybody to use us. They might be trying to trick us or trying to get over on us. That's not on us. It's not on us. When a person on them. That's not on you. And when we get to that, it's not about us.
It's not about us.
Not about us. And I just thank God. I thank God for this, the love walk that we're talking about, because it makes us examine our hearts, examine our motives.
It does.
Examine what we do. You know, are we doing this with the right spirit in the right mind? You know, need renewing.
Do I want people to think good of me, or do I want people to see Christ? What's the purpose?
Come on. That's good.
Purpose.
Yes. Let them see the Christ. Let them see the Son of the living God, to the point that they will tell you, hey, you know, I know this was God. I know this was God. God told you to do this. No, you know, and that's where we want to get to. get in our secret place. I love that Pastor Chris relationship he talks about. But you got to get back in your secret place. You got to get
right,
back in that quiet,
right.
that place with God so that he can tell you what to do and how to do it. And you don't worry
exactly.
about somebody else is saying or what they think about you or how they're feeling because you got it from the one that matters the most.
That's right.
And you're so right. And he asked, what did we do? How did we lose ground? We lost ground because we quit going to the source. And we thought we had become
yep.
the source. And anytime you go to yourself, you're going to run out because you're limited.
Yep.
You're limited. And your love is I think the right word is contingent on how I treat you. So if I mistreat
mm-hmm.
you, your love stop being love and stop being, where my gun at? Be quiet, grandson. My grandson said, you don't want your gun. Yeah. And he done lost about four teeth since he's been here. And he just bare mouth. He said, you don't want your gun. But yeah, but when we get to the place where we rely on our own strength, we find out how weak we really are. Because love is not a wimp walk. That come from heaven.
Yep.
Love is not a wimp walk. Wimp can't walk in love. Because love is something that supersedes our physical strength. And it taps into the spiritual realm. And if we don't share love, then the love in us dies. When I found that out last week, I'm like, whoa. When we don't share and keep breaking off a piece of that love that God put in us, when we don't keep making a withdrawal from that, it dies in us. Because the only way it can continue to grow in us is if we keep giving it out. So if we fail to give out our love, it will die. It will die inside of us. It's just like a baby that's kicking. As long as that baby's kicking, you know that baby's alive. But when that baby stops kicking, you go to the doctor, they felt my baby kicking 2 days. Some of us ain't felt our love kicking in years. And we think we healed some of it.
Mm-mm.
It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. I remember working, and I was working, and the people used to tell, why you keep doing this? Why you keep cooking? And why you keep, you know, I'm staying up all night cooking and all this. Why you keep doing this?
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea what God, it wasn't me, it was God. Because even when I tried not to, he put it on me to do it. And I was like, oh, God. But at the end, he allowed me to, his love, not me, but his love breaks some prejudice mindsets that was out there. It broke so many things that were just by what I was doing. And like you say, I was given a piece of God. I didn't know it, but it was a piece of God. Things that was some barriers that the enemy had put up. But had I stopped, you know, and they were like, when it was all over with, you know, some of the, they let me know how prejudiced they was and stuff and how, and then they hugging me like, you my sister. I'm like,
my Lord.
You know?
My Lord.
You know.
But
it's that sacrifice. Love is a sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice. Is it like Pastor Chris? Is it easy? No.
Mm-mm.
It's hard.
Mm-mm. Not at all. It's pulling teeth.
It's necessary. It's necessary.
You ever seen those shows, Sister Roberta? You ever seen those shows, shows where a human gets trapped? From the tree or something, and his only resolve, if he's going to live and his life's going to be spared, he's got to sever his own limb to be free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine cutting your arm off without anesthesia? Because you choose to live? That's love.
That's
cutting
love.
Your arm off.
That's it. That's love, and that's what we have. That's what we have to do. And, you know, like, you know, and I, you know, Pastor, you got to love the members that talk about you, and you know they talking about you, but you got to keep on smiling and laughing, and you keep on doing it.
No, I was agreeing with you, Sister Roberta. See, you got to love.
That didn't sound like agreement. That didn't sound like agreement. Now,
no.
Did that sound like agreement, or did that sound like choking up? Go ahead,
no.
Chris.
No, because I was trying to be nice. See, you gotta you gotta. They say you gotta love your haters. It could be difficult to do that, especially if you know you're coming from a vein of love.
Mm-hmm.
See, as you continue to understand what Christ went through for us,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you realize that when you go through minimal things that we get mad about, you know, we have to face every crisis that comes our way with faith and courage and with unconditional love. Is that hard? Yes. Two, this COVID-19 does not release us from our obligation as believers. We still have to disciple. Oh, that sounds easy for you to say. Da, 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 da. Listen, this separated the men from the boys, ladies. This whole situation separated the true church and the body. Because a lot of us, we ran under a rug. We ran under a rock. Oh, Lord Jesus. See, as a believer, your life is one of sacrifice. Why? Because if you're going to love unconditionally, it's going to cost you something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it goes double in times like these. When we're going through this pandemic, not only are you going through people passing on, but your kids tripping, your husband tripping, Pookie tripping, JJ tripping, Sis Lorraine tripping, she going off. See, we're going through a whole bunch of stuff. But see, we have to understand who we can call upon. Who is our comforter?
Mm-hmm.
Who is our personal resource? Who is our ride or die? It sure ain't who we think it is, but we do know that our ride or die is Jesus Christ. If you knew him like that, you would understand that regardless of how much people talk about you, how much they throw your name in the rumor mail, as much as they want to say, oh, those people over there, they Rogan. No, sorry, baby. We're going to speak the truth. People need to be set free, not given cotton candy messages. Uh-oh. Not given goosebump feels. We need to understand why we feel the way we feel, why we speak the way we speak, and how we can do something about it. And we're not going to learn that, ladies, by speaking a whole bunch of candy cane and whole bunch of all this fluff and sprinkles, and everything's merry and grand, and we're skipping across and frolicking across the grass. No, sacrifice comes with the element of risk as a human being. We got to risk something. Sometimes we might get hurt in the process. It's okay. We are promised eternal life. We are promised not to go through anything when it comes time for us to go home. But until then, we have to understand that we face this crisis together. Even though Sister Lorraine is in North Carolina, I'm in Texas, we got to understand we are there for each other.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's what's missing in most ministries.
That's
the pastor too
that's
busy
true.
To send a silly text message to his people.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor too busy to just check to see how you're doing. I don't want to have a big conversation. I'm just checking to see how my sister is doing.
Amen.
See, it's little stuff like that keeps us encouraged. But anyway, okay, I'm sorry. I just had to throw that out
Pastor,
there.
You know what, Pastor Christian, Sister Roberta, and Sister Tracy, I'm thinking in my mind, I see a process. What I see is we were being made into what God has designed and desired us to be. So we were in the potter's hand. And in Jeremiah 18, I believe it is, he talks about looking through the window at the potter, at fast at work with this marred piece of clay. We're marred. Maybe in our love walk, maybe in our forgiveness, maybe in our trust walk, but some kind of way we're marred, we're damaged good. And the only hope we have is that the potter will love us enough, although we're flawed, lumpy, uncooperative, keep moving when he say be still, is that he keeps us in his hands. And it's because when we discover that type of love, that God keeps holding on to us and keep molding and shaping us and making us into something beautiful, is what make us love him enough to extend that same grace to our brothers and sisters. And we can understand just a smidgen of what Jesus prayed when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in our everyday term, we say, Lord, forgive her or him, because they don't even know who they're messing with. And there was crying all over the building.
That is, go ahead, Mom.
Go ahead.
They don't know what they're trying to stop. So that's what Jesus was saying. They don't know what they're trying to stop.
Good God about it.
I'm telling you, girl. I'm gonna mute my phone. Every time I want to holler, I'm gonna holler. I ain't care. I'm hollering. Because I'm telling you, this thing is tight.
They don't know what they trying to stop. You know I'm about to put that on Facebook, right? You know that.
Yeah. Woo. Report it. Fake news. Come on here now.
They don't know.
Woo, Lord Jesus. We live in a world, Sister Tracy. This is what's coming. We live in a world where it is fake news. It's so much fake news. But when something like that hit the table, it divides. It separates.
Oh, yeah.
What could be fake? Because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what she just said, that's real. Because that makes your baby jump. Hallelujah.
Real.
Put it on Facebook, Tracy. Alpha, what brother Jones?
You know I am.
Come on, you know me.
I always report who the author is now.
Oh, Lord Jesus, the fire. I just went downstairs, Tree. I just went downstairs to get me a soda. Put my money in the machine. And found out it was a fire going on. All I wanted was a soda. And it's a fire. Good God, I'm hot. Woo! I'm going on mute.
You know what? I've been battling this for a while. The Holy Spirit put this in my spirit, and I was like, no, I ain't going to do that. Because this is a Christian radio show, so I ain't going to do that. But God keep pressing this on my heart. And one of the things that I've learned is anybody can give you a message. There's a message in things that people say. So whether it comes from a Muslim, whether it comes from a little child, I can receive messages. There is a song, it's a secular song, it's called Love by Music Soul Child. Now, I remember the first time I heard that song, I was at a house party, and everybody was up swaying and dancing to that song, but it caught something in my spirit. I was like, wait a minute, do y'all hear the words in that song? Right. Do y'all hear what that song is saying? It's deeper than your sway. It's talking to you about love. He wrote a song, and he was talking to love. And if y'all would just allow me to just read these lyrics. It says, love, ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on, I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. Because love, so many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. Love, through all the ups and downs, the joys and hurts. Love, for better or worse, I still will choose you first. Many days I've longed for you, wanting you, hoping for the chance to get to know you, longing for your kiss, for your touch, for your feel, your presence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do, felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real. with no doubts and no fears and no questions. Love. So many people use your name in vain. Love. But those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. Love. Through all the ups and downs, the joys and hurts. Love. For better or worse, I still would choose you first. At first, you didn't mean that much to me. But now I know that you're all I need. The world looks so brand new to me now that I found love. Every day, I live for you. And everything that I do it for you. When I say, it's how I feel, so believe it's true. You got to know I'm true. Love. Now, y'all, if that... If that message did not come from God, he used a man in the world to tell us to talk about love. Love. You know, we use the name in vain. People talk about it. People say, I love you. But as we said last week, and it was mentioned this week, love shows up. Love shows up. Love is in the air because God gave us the revelation. Love is clear. So air is something that you can't feel. So love is air. It's supposed to permeate around us. It's anywhere we is, there should be love. So when we walk into a room, it don't matter what the climate was before we got there. Come on. But upon our arrival. Upon our arrival, love is supposed to show up. Woo! Come on, saints.
It changes the atmosphere. Pastor Chris is absolutely speechless. The band ain't saying nothing. Is he still alive? Are you breathing over there? Where you at, man?
See, I was trying not to add more fuel to the fire. That's why I was trying to be quiet. Well, since you want to throw a match in the fire, Sister Lorraine, I got a co-sign with Sister Tracy. See, sometimes in some secular songs, there is a divine message behind it. But are we listening?
Yes, sir.
The same
divine
message comes across the pulpit, but are we listening?
In
the
Himala.
Same talk comes from our soul, coming out from our ear gate. God is crying out to you. Are we
listening?
And that's the problem. We are never going to understand just how intimate those words were.
Yeah.
And it will light your fire, not only in the physical, it's going to light your fire in the spiritual. Why? Because you understand the word love. You understand that your Savior did everything those lyrics explain. And he still loved your hard-headed hell when you were dropping like it's hot at the club. He still loved your tail when you was trying to be Casanova and slaying every woman you see. He
still loved
you.
Your tail.
And there is no word that you can put on that word love. Love to us is so big for us to catch, but the easy part about it is if you have a true relationship with Christ, it's easy to say those lyrics so freely, because not only you in love with the Savior, you're in love with what he's giving you. You're in love with the people, even though they backstab you, you can still love them anyhow. You still in love even if you live in a shack or you drive a hoofie. You still got your gospel in your car, pumping up with no air conditioning. I've been there. I've done that. I know what I'm talking about. Where you can still praise God with nothing. Can you imagine the love he has for you when you stay faithful with nothing and you still trusted him? You still love him. He will bless you to a point where not only you will be blessed, but the people that are in your circle will be blessed. It has nothing to do with $1,000 tithes and all that nonsense. It's your relationship with Christ that fills the love, that gets your life where it needs to be so you can be an example for somebody else. I never want to forget where I come from, but I love the God I serve, and I thank him for it. See, let me stop. See, I'm not coming back on here no more. Sister Tracy always get me started. I'm going to be quiet. Back to you.
Jesus. Hey, brother, before you wrap up, let me do my housekeeping. Let me thank our three faithful listeners on today. One of which is having a birthday drive-by on today. She's turning 93. But first of all, we have Sister Dorothy Curry. We want to recognize her two caretakers, Shirley Allen and Sister Lucille Priester. Want to keep Sister Lucille in prayer. She's supposed to have a procedure done. We're praying that God will move on her behalf. We have Sister Ella Priester, her two caretakers, Sister Leola and Sister Josie Lee Priester, her two daughters. Also, we want to celebrate the birthday girl, Sister Eartha Lee Aaron, on today. She's 93 years old, and she's having a drive-by on today. Her two caretakers, the lovely Sister Edna Moore and her beautiful daughter, Sister Jeanette Pontoon, take very good care of their mom. And, again, rah-rah-rah for Sister Eartha Lee Aaron turning 93 years young on today. And God bless you all. Sister Roberta, it's in your hand. Me and Pastor Chris, we're going to get somewhere and start out. Go start out.
No, it's not time to start.
I'm on punishment.
Yeah, we in the time out here, Pastor Chris.
Okay.
No, you can't be in the time out because it's so awesome that we're talking about this now, this love, which is, that's our life. Love is truly everything, like Brother John said. Is everything, and you can't do anything outside of love. If you try to, it's going to fail. It's going to fail. And in life, when you do it in love, it's lighter. It's a lighter burden. It's not a burden. It becomes lighter. And the benefit of doing it is so awesome. When you see the benefit, then you say, oh, okay, God, the sacrifice wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Because it's truly a sacrifice, because it's a giving of yourself and not really expecting anything in return. Or if you get anything in return, it's you look into God. Your eyes are focused on God and him. Mm-hmm. And that's where it should be, because God is love.
That's right.
And you can't, anything you do outside of love is not of God.
That's right.
Because that's his love. And I don't want to go outside of God. I want to stay inside of God and his love, his purpose and plan for our life. Because like Pastor Chris said, when you get a revelation of what Jesus went through for you, the love of God, that what he went through for you, it doesn't take as much for you to sit back and say, Lord, here am I. I want to do this for your glory because of what the price that he paid, and you understand that price. But one of the things, before I wrap up, one of the things in the Passion Bible on love, it says, love is a safe place of shelter.
Wow.
It never stops believing the best for others.
That's good stuff.
Love never takes failure as defeat.
Hello.
For it never gives up. It never gives up. Love never loves it. Isn't that powerful?
God. It never gives up.
Never gives up.
So quitting is not even an option for love.
It's not an option for love. And it never takes defeat. Failure. It never takes failure as defeat. If I fail, I'm not defeated. So when I love,
so the next time,
I'm not defeated.
Next time what?
No, I was saying, so when the next time you feel like giving up, just think about what Sister Jones would say.
Yeah.
Next time you feel like you want to pack your bags and leave, think about what Sister Jones just said. When you feel like that you just want to take your stapler and all your papers and your pictures, put it in the box and walk out your job, think about what Sister Jones just said. Even for the pastors, the ones that are really doing the work, you feel discouraged and you want to just give up the thing. You want to tear your collar off, throw it in the garbage, walk out the door, put the chain lock, and don't come back. Think about what Sister Jones just said. I'm saying that's what true love is. See, we say we love, but we have conditions. Even in our natural relationships, we love, but it comes with a price tag. Oh, I love you, boo, because you brought me a $6,000 ring. Oh, I love you, boo, because you brought me a platinum wedding band. Oh, boo, I love you. See, we got price tags on love. See, Jesus don't have price tags. He don't have a price tag.
He's so loved.
He loves you. If you give him a Cracker Jack ring from a Cracker Jack box, he still loves you the same without the price. See, it's us. We're the problem. And until we see that, we will never get where we need to be because it's all about me. It ain't about you. I can't you know what? I love you so much, Sister Lorraine and Sister Roberta and Sister Tracy, that I'll give you my Cracker Jack box ring because that's how much I love you. See, we don't do that. It comes with a price tag. And until we get off that stuff, when everything's got to be paid forward, everything's got to have a down payment, and I'll lease you for 2 years, and if the if the lease comes up, I will choose to renew my contract. Come on, I'm a tough real. So I'm going to choose to renew my marriage because my lease option's about to expire. See, we don't want to keep it real, ladies, but that's real talk.
Right.
We got people that are being attacked right now in their marriages, in their ministries. But see, we don't want to talk about that real stuff. We want to float around it. That's why a lot of people didn't want to listen to the show. It's too rough. Y'all being too hard on the church. No, we're not. We are being hard on the relationship that we don't have. It's got nothing to do with the church. You're the church. Uh-oh.
Right.
That's a whole nother show. See, I'm not going to even go there. That's a whole nother show. You're the church.
Yeah, but you
take care
the rest
of your
the
temple. That's going to take another 5-week series. Just saying. Some people don't even know that. They think the building is the church. But read your word. You're the church. And if your own church needs housekeeping, what makes you think you're going to go to the building and do any better when you didn't even do a self-check of your own building? Let me stop. Okay, I'm done. All right.
You preaching, sir.
See, Tracy, you need to stop. See, she whipping me with that Holy Ghost whip, and she getting me all amped up. But I'm just saying.
That's what she do.
We got to understand something, family. We got to stop games.
Yep.
Real recognizes real, like this young people
say. Right.
We we need to stop the nonsense. We got to stop with the fake cliches, the fake, oh, I love you, boo. No, you don't. You hate my guts. So what are we going to do about it? See, let's keep it real. I can't stand you. Okay, you can't stand me. What are we going to do about it? Let's keep it real.
Yes.
Okay, Pastor, I hate you stepped on my corn. I ain't coming back to my city church no more. Okay, since we got a problem, let's talk about it and be men and women and adults about the thing and work it out. That's our problem. We're immature Christians. We're immature believers. We're big brats. We're babies. We crying all the time. We complain all the time because we ain't get our way. Oh, Sister Roberta, I didn't get my way. Oh, stop. Is Jesus doing that to you? He hear us crying and complaining every single day. Does he say, oh, stop? No, we do. He listens to what we got to say. And he gives us constructive criticism. He cuts like a fine surgeon. And he sews us back up with love. Why?
Yes.
Because his words are like a two-edged sword. They cut the cancer out of your life. We got to be like fine surgeons in this walk. We can talk and hurt and love all in one sentence. See, we want to hate.
Yes.
We can still cut out that hatred in your heart. Oh, I hate him. Oh, I hate her. Oh, she this. Oh, he that. Listen, if you are a true believer, why do you hate him or her? What's the problem?
That's the question.
And sometimes when we look in the mirror,
it's
ladies, it's us that's the problem, not
it's
the
me.
Person.
I'm the problem. That's right.
We're seeing everything that they're doing, and it's making us mad. Because they're acting out what we're doing.
Yes.
But we won't blame them. Look in the mirror. We've been saying it the whole show. Look in the mirror. Look at your stuff. Do a heart check. Do a tune-up in your own spiritual life. And I guarantee you, when you lay the smack down on all that stuff you laid on the table that's wrong with you, you'll be able to love someone that's probably 12 times worse. Why? Because you understand where they were. And you knew how to get out of your stuff. So you know how to witness to him or her because you went through the same valley that they did. Why do you think they took testimony service out of church? It wasn't because of Mother Teresa talking for 30 minutes. Testimony service was a powerful weapon in the church because the pastor sometimes didn't even have to preach. See, y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all came to see the pastor to see if he had a silk suit on or what car he drove up in. See, that's what y'all want to see. But it ain't about that. It's about going to work. I'm going to come in my scrubs with a doctor jacket on with my stethoscope. And I'll be ready to go to surgery. Why? Because as you stand on the pulpit as a pastor, you still getting cut up too. Because if you truly are preaching the word of God, that word's going to convict you as well as the people. Why?
Amen.
Because then you'll know how to translate it, exegete it for all those Bible scholars out there. Yeah, I know big words. I'm just saying. But anyway, you know how to break it down. You know how to cut the cancer out. You know how to sew it back together and give them the proper treatment, the proper medication, antibiotic, so they won't keep on going right back to the same thing. But we don't teach that. That's why we are in trouble. That's why COVID-19 kicked our butt as a body of believers, because some of us thought the building was our salvation, and our salvation all along was in our heart. I'm sorry to say.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Let me be quiet.
God.
I'm done. We're going to get cut off now. Lord.
God. Ooh, see, my God.
Jesus.
Thank you. My God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Oh,
the truth makes us free.
Good.
Mm-hmm. The truth makes us free. And if we don't have the truth,
but we can't handle it.
We can't handle it.
The truth sets us free, but we can't handle it. We don't like it. Sister Lorraine, I'm not going to get mad at you if you tell me to be quiet. It's your show. But I'm just being obedient because sometimes God has something to say to everybody. And sometimes you don't always got to be the star of the show. It's okay to be in the background. It's okay to co-sign on your fellows and sisters in the faith that's given a word from God. You don't always got to be in the bright lights, big city.
That's
the
right.
Most effective minister of the gospel is the ones that know how to be in the background. See, let me be quiet. Okay, turn off the mic. I just dropped the mic. I'm done.
You know, I'm going to say this real quick. I know we're at the end of the show. But, excuse me, but to the listeners or the saints that are like, you know, we come and we're tearing down or attempting to tear down the church, it's actually the opposite. We're coming to build the church. You think about it. When your floor is broken, there's a hole, you call a carpenter. And before he can build, he has to tear it apart to find out where the hole came from. When you call your plumber, he has to take all the pipes down to find out where the leak came from. When you go to the doctor, he has to open you up to find out where the disease or the pain is coming from. So we're coming to you with a message from the ultimate surgeon, the ultimate carpenter, the ultimate plumber. And we're saying, when it comes to love, where is the lack coming from? And the lack is coming from the heart. It's a heart thing. When we get our heart together, this is all what this is about. This is about helping. Well, as we are talking, I don't have any notes today, y'all. I have none. When I tell you the Holy Spirit has just been pouring out, that's it. So I'm getting convicted, and I'm getting strengthened, and I'm getting set free as well on these shows.
Amen.
So, and guess what? I'm the church. I'm the church.
Right.
So
you're
saying tearing the church down? I'm tearing me down in order to build me back up because I want to be who God has called me to be.
Right.
In every aspect of my life. So I appreciate you all. When it hurts, I say, ouch. And then I move on. I can't sit in it. I can't, you know, have a pity party for myself. I'm saying, Lord, if I'm asking you for more of you, if this is your method of giving it to me, I say yes. Now help me to apply the knowledge and the wisdom coming from my brothers and my sisters to my life so that I can help someone else. That's what this is about.
That's good. I totally agree with that. I concur. I concur.
Amen.
It's always a bad rap when you're talking about something that hurts. And our first defense is always to be on defense. Always.
Yep.
That's even in some of our churches. And it's not, you know, people get this whole ministry wrong. This ain't about bashing the church. See, the church is a building where we assemble. You are the church. We are the church. We are many members of what? One body.
One church.
Who's the body? Jesus Christ. Now, when we meet to the building, we're running out of time. I just want to make this real quick. When we go to the building, we're going to fellowship.
Sure.
Okay? I'm not saying it's wrong to go to church. That's not what I'm saying. But we cannot continue to bring in dirty baggage in a church where we're supposed to be dealing with our own dirty laundry before we go to the church. Now, they say the church building is the hospital. Well, I beg to differ. The church is you. The surgeon is your relationship with Christ. You're making an appointment to get a consultation to get your stuff right. So if when you get your stuff right, I'll be able to come to the building, like I said earlier, with power. Why? Because I got my stuff straight in my own church. We have to understand, family, we are the church. We cannot be a strong building if our own church is messed up. You can put makeup on and all you want. You can't cover up a damaged heart because it'll show. Out of the abundance of the what?
Heart.
The mouth speaks. There we go.
Amen.
I'm dropping the mic. See,
Amen.
Our hearts is messed up. We say one thing and we do another. I'm going to be quiet, y'all.
Amen.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
It's hard, Pastor Chris, to be quiet. I know time is about up. Do we have any callers? Can we get at least one or two calls in before we?
Oh, yes. Sure.
Close.
We can do that. All right. Yeah, we got four on the line. They hung on with us. The rest of them kind of went running. But anyway, first caller, 2985, you are live. God bless you.
God bless all of you. And I truly thank God for this radio broadcast. It's not often you could get on a radio station and come from death to life. And that's what you guys have done today in speaking about God's love, because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He came with life and went to death in order to deliver us from death and give us life. I see God's love. It was definitely manifested. I want to say this. Love for my life, it transformed me. God's love transforms. I read a book once that a young pastor wrote out of Detroit, and the title was From the Trash Can to I Can. Mm. And when I got through reading that book, I saw God's love, how God transformed this young lady from where she was into who he desired and wanted her to be. And she came out with love. So I thank God for this radio broadcast. There are many stations that's open, but they're not giving life. They're not leaving anything in a person's life that they can grab hold to and live one more day. So I appreciate all of you for sacrificing, Jesus, and laying down your life for others, that somebody else can be healed, delivered, and set free. God bless you all, because this definitely was a buffet today worthy of eating. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Well, we can get all the callers. We can go overtime. It's no problem. So we're going to get everybody on here. Next caller, 6015, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Ms. Lucia, you want to unmute your phone? Ms. Lucia? She may be having trouble, Pastor Chris. Let's move on.
Okay. All right. Next caller, 1221. You are live on the air. God bless you.
Good afternoon, family. I just want to say I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all the perfect balance of hype and calm. I tell my mama that every week after the show, but I'm proud of y'all. Have a good day.
Thank you, Tiana. God bless.
Our last caller, 6015. You are live on the air.
You did her, Pastor Chris. That's Sister Lucille. Sister Lucille, did you get hooked up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you did her.
Call back in. Okay. No problem. Well, that's everybody. Well, back to you.
Well, we thank God for everyone being a part of the show. I'm not sure if we're done with love. We don't know. God is often the finisher of our faith, and he instructs us. And I'm like Sister Tracy. I didn't have any notes today either. So tune in next week at the buffet. We'll be here to meet you and to greet you and to share what God has given us in our hearts. God bless everybody. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Up for air, underwater, overjoyed. Water for a thirsty soul, water for a thirsty soul. Baptize me into your love.
TPV Radio, Central Texas.